and the people looking.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show.
Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
And now, your host, Gary Null.
To what you have to say, they're the ones who's coming up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and today you're going to learn about yoga and physical therapy helping with chronic low back pain, and it also improves sleep. Who says? Boston Medical Center, in an article published in the Peer-Reviewed Journal of General Internal Medicine, and a lot more on health and healing. And just so you know, because we have a lot of new listeners, that every day when we play a video clip, and today we're going to play one as well, you can watch it by just going to youtube.com/PRNFM. youtube.com/PRN.FM. Also, we are not covering the impeachment hearings because they're a farce and they're a fraud, and we're not going to entertain that nonsense, as unfortunately the fully captured corporate media is doing. Instead, we're going to bring you someone in person later on in the show who is an outstanding authority, one of the best authorities in the world on Ukraine. And he is Dr. Stephen Ledman. And Stephen will be talking about the double standard in the congressional Ukraine investigations to impeach Trump. This is in no way, shape, or form a defense of Trump. There's nothing I find defensible about Trump. I find everything offensible. And we're here, however, to show the contradictions in the hypocrisy. Stephen Ledman is an independent progressive economist, historian, investigative journalist, and he really tackles the most critical issues in the world as soon as they emerge. He holds a degree from Harvard University and the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School of Business, and he has a really strong background in geopolitical finance, war, peace issues, social equality, international human rights, and humanitarian issues. And so he's in fact, he won the International Journalist Award from the prestigious Club of Mexico and a Project Censored Award. And he's the author of Flashpoint in Ukraine, How the U.S. Drive for Hegemony Risks World War III. So Stephen will be on a little later on the program, something that no one in this whole congressional investigation is willing to do, put a real expert who does not have political bias on to talk about what really goes on behind the scenes for years in Ukraine. Also, I suggest that you take the time to write these numbers down, because it's unfortunately my assessment, as well as some others, that the effort to destroy WBAI, the sister station that I've been on for 45 years, 5 days a week, was a unique attempt. It is my belief that they would not have done this knowing that they could not win. It would not be upheld in court. But in the 4 to 6 weeks that it could be taken off the air and everyone locked out, it would bleed the audience to where there was no audience left, and pretty much 80% of the audience is now gone. So then later on, 3 months now, 3 to 6 months I predict, and I hope I'm wrong, the station will be changed over with the effort to sell it, because the license could be worth tens of millions of dollars to those people who created this coup. But now it won't be them saying that we have to do it, it'll be all the other stations. And in 2 hours, I'll be doing a fundraiser for WBAI to help them out. and I'll go into depth about what I believe is the ultimate outcome of BAI, and it's not good. It'll end. It'll be off the air, at least as we know it. So one more reason to write down the numbers so you always hear us here on PRN. That number is 774-6068. Excuse me. Again, that was wrong. 774-337-6068. Again, you can always hear us live at 774-337-6068, or you can go to the archives if you miss a program and download it. That number is 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. Now to the latest on health and healing. And we start with something that a lot of people suffer from, and that's lower back pain. Now, I believe that something they left out, because they probably haven't a knowledge of it, is magnet therapy. And magnet therapy, acupuncture, chiropractic, the cranial sacral adjustments from an osteopath, all can work, all have benefit. But beyond that, Boston Medical Center found that yoga and physical therapy are effective approaches to treating sleep disturbances and back pain while reducing the need for medication. And that is good. And this was after just 12 weeks of yoga classes. So start taking yoga and some of the other therapies I just mentioned. From King's College London comes a study about the omega-3 fish oils. They're as effective for attention as ADHD drugs for some children. Now, I did a study, a clinical trial, about 12 years ago. And it was because a person who had come to a different clinical study on high blood pressure that we did for 3 months said that he has three children, all of whom have ADHD, and all were normal until they got their vaccines. In any case, we then put together Dr. Martin Feldman, a board-certified neurologist and qualified in psychiatry, and one of the best holistic doctors in America. And we had a study on ADHD. And one of the first things we did was we changed their diet. We got rid of all the sugar, processed carbohydrates. We put them on about a 70% raw, all-plant diet, meaning lots of nuts and seeds and juices and smoothies and grains and legumes, no wheat. We got rid of all allergens. And then we did a whole detox with special formulas like wheatgrass, spirulina, chlorella, all mixed in with lemon juice and apple cider vinegar. And that was terrific. And then supplements, and a whole lot of supplements I'm going to now, but one of the supplements was the omega-3 fatty acids twice a day and methylated B12 and folic acid. Lots of probiotics to rebuild the intestine and the mitochondria in the intestine. We had a 90% success rate that at the end of the study, these children were no longer diagnosed as ADD and ADHD. They were normal. So it's interesting that they found, the people at King's College London, that the omega-3 fatty acids by themselves, without all the other things we did, can improve attention among children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and with even low levels of the omega-3 fatty acids in their blood to build them back up again. So just something to help people. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Translational Psychiatry. Also, we don't use rye in the United States, but in Eastern Europe, it's very common. That's one of the places it was first harvested. And according to the University of Eastern Finland, whole grain rye can boost your gut health. So whole grains, not processed grains, whole grains like brown rice and quinoa and spelt and amaranth and let's say millet, these are really good for your gut. And a recent study shows how. The researchers from the University of Eastern Finland and the International Agency for Research on Cancer in France found that eating whole grain rye has a positive impact on serotonin levels in the blood. And the study built upon previous research, which showed that whole grains affected metabolites. Those are molecules in the body that are involved in metabolic processes. And through human and mice studies, the researchers examined how two kinds of bread, whole grain and with rye, and wheat bread with fermented rye bran affected gut metabolism. They also determined how the two breads influenced levels of metabolites in the blood. And after their findings, it affirms that rye bread, not the rye bread wheat in the United States, because it's really not rye. If you look, it's just a tiny amount of rye and the rest is whole wheat, has a lot of health benefits, making it a great alternative to common wheat bread. But again, you can make your own rye bread. You can do Essene rye with other sprouts. And by the way, rye is a grain from a common weed. It evolved to look like wheat so that its seeds could be sown against, again, during planting season. And because it could tolerate cold climates, farmers started cultivating it, and it became a cereal crop. And it's now a part of the wheat family, together with oats, barley, and buckwheat. So for people who have a strict gluten intolerance, you might test yourself to see if you can tolerate whole oats, barley, and buckwheat. And rye grains can be harvested and turned into a coarse flour. And the dark rye meal and pumpernickel are generally made from that. So just something extra. From the University of British Columbia comes a study that when they looked at 1,100 people at the highest risk of opiate overdose in Vancouver during a three-year period, they found that those who use cannabis had very low odds of using illicit opiates among people with chronic pain. Now, please keep this in perspective. The illicit opiates are used to manage a lot of people's chronic pain, but they're deadly. Over 50,000 Americans are dying this year just from that alone. I remember when we were filming in Camden, New Jersey, and we were on a street that nobody had been on in a long time, except the people who unfortunately had to live there. And we were waiting on a corner, and we had some gang members who had agreed that if we told their story, they'd see that nobody, you know, came around and stole their cameras and vehicle. And because I wanted to hear their story. I wanted to hear, you know, what their life was like and how they looked at life, how they survived. And it's an interesting story. I haven't shown that yet. That is in an upcoming film about the people left behind, the people we don't even know exist because we don't go into the habitat that they're forced to survive in, where there's no employment at all. There's dire poverty. And as one of the kids said, he's about 17 years old, he says, when you see your mom working two jobs as a kid growing up, and you see that everything is infested with crime and drugs, it doesn't take long before you realize to survive, you're going to have to be a part of something. And that's unfortunate. And that's a conversation as a country we have never had. In any case, there was a group of doors, frames, but no doors. And I wondered, what the heck is this about? So I walked in into a group of houses that had no doors. And there was a man sitting there, and he just had a curtain. And I said, what happened to your door? He said, you realize in this neighborhood you don't want a door. If you have a door, they'll break it down, come in and just beat you to death. He said, so when there's no door, they come in and they see I have nothing, then they might just beat me up, but then again, they might leave without beating me up. And I said, well, why do you live here? He said, I used to live across the river in Philadelphia, and I had a job, and I was a welder, and things were great until all the industries left, and there was no work. And then I ended up homeless, but I had chronic pain. So I came over here to buy heroin, and because heroin is cheaper than my medication. And so I can't get out of this pain, so I just use the heroin each day because it's cheap. And I said, yeah, and it's dangerous too. He said, yeah. He said, but no more dangerous than the opiates that I'd be taking, the legal opiates from the hospital. They both kill you. What a way to live. And that is a story that's not told. It will be. You'll see that in an upcoming documentary I've been working on for about 5 years called Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? In any case, those who used marijuana did not have the same pain. From the University of California, San Francisco, as well as Michigan State University, adding beet roots or beets to your diet can prevent high blood pressure, especially from salty foods. Now, this was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Hypertension. They found that even small amounts of beet and other foods loaded with nitrates can prevent increases in blood pressure caused by salt consumption. And the Institute of Physiology and the Czech Academy of Sciences and the other two universities all cooperated in this experiment. So beet juice is low nitrate, beets nitric oxide, which is great. By the way, celery, lettuce, spinach also have that as well. And they're rich in potassium. And that is also helps prevent salt-induced increases in blood pressure. That's why when you're eating fruits and vegetables rich in potassium, that's better to maintain your blood pressure than eating, let's say, French fries that are high in salt or potato chips or pretzels. So you don't need a lot, but it's good to have. And according to Queen Mary University in London, drinking one glass of beet juice every day can reduce blood pressure in people with hypertension. That's a lifesaver. Also from Taipei Medical University in Taiwan, published in the Journal of the NCI Cancer Spectrum, individuals exposed to CT, that's CAT scan, radiation, are at an increased risk of thyroid cancer and leukemia. You wouldn't know it by how much is used in the United States. We have millions of people getting CAT scans every year in the United States. That means we're putting them at greater risk of thyroid cancer, leukemia, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So unless it's absolutely necessary, I would not recommend anyone get a CAT scan. And finally, what they found in this study is pomegranate extract made from the pomegranate alters breast cancer stem cell properties, which means, according to the University of Albany, that evidence showed that the same antioxidants that give pomegranate fruit their vibrant red color can alter the characteristics of breast cancer stem cells, showing the superfood's potential for aiding in much more than diabetes and heart disease as previously thought. So this is brand new information. Pomegranate extract, derived mainly from the skin of the fruit, is known for having high levels of powerful antioxidants called polyphenols, and those can alter the cancer-fighting effects in your body and put the benefit on you. And because not all cancer cells are the same and tumors are comprised of many cell types, they decided to target the one long thought to be the most dangerous in any given tumor, the cancer stem cells. Now, the stem cells, if you don't know, the stem cells are unlike other types of cells in that they have a remarkable ability to self-divide and reproduce themselves, even giving rise to other types of cells. This self-dividing nature alone is not dangerous. In fact, normal tissue stem cells can replace dying cells and even repair damaged tissue. The danger arises if stem cells become cancer stem cells because their division and renewing ability carries over to cancer progression by aiding in tumor initiation and growth and even in reinitiation cancerous tumors long after a person has been declared cancer-free. So compounding these issues are the fact that cancer stem cells are thought to be more resilient to chemotherapy. As such, cancer stem cells have become an important target in cancer therapies. So in this study, they found that the pomegranate extract was able to make an enormous difference of killing the cancer stem cells. So that's terrific. That's good news. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to take on some issues. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. If you didn't listen to last evening's Progressive Commentary Hour on what was going on in Bolivia with two professors of sociology who specialize in the Caribbean and Central and South American politics, you got a real education. So download that from our archives. But right now, I have two people on the line. One is in our studio in New York City. He's our chief lawyer and the staff that we have. He is Neil. And then on the phone is Richard. He is our producer. And we're going to bring something to your attention. Evidently, all of our 50 or 60 plus articles challenging Wikipedia's lack of objectivity and their extreme bias has gotten someone's attention because there has been an enormous attack against me. So Richard's here to educate us on the issue, and then Neil's here to show how you, the audience, all over the world, can become involved in a call to action where we, the people, begin to push back against their highly authoritarian arrogance. Richard, educate the public on the issue, please.
Yes, Gary. Over the past year in particular, even though it goes further back, but we've been sending about a dozen letters, I would guess, say, to the Wikipedia board members and its fiduciaries, which would include Jimmy Wales, its co-founder and one of its leading board member. So along with articles that are accompanying those letters, and obviously the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the parent organization overseeing the encyclopedia, has notified its senior editors, we call them the administrators, the ones that sit on pages, and they're kind of the dogs from hell, the caribouses that you have to pass through to have anything approved in terms of changes that have been made. On Gary's page, during the past 3 weeks now, turning around October 31st, there's been an enormous amount of activity on the back pages of Wikipedia. These are the talk sections where discussions go on between the different editors, where they have what are called wiki wars, arguing over different points that are being made or edited into a page. So there's been an enormous amount of activity. Even just my downloading those, I have about almost 70, 80 Word document page worth of material just from those discussions. They placed a protection on your page, meaning that edits are temporarily stopped, and your biography has increased dramatically, but you've been getting more trashed than you were before by the editors. We've pointed this out before, but the editors are all part of the skeptic community. What's very noticeable is that there's been an increase in references to Quackwatch, to the science-based medicine group in the skeptic community. These are the sources that are being used to further trash you. So that's where it stands right now. And the other main discussion that's been going on, and editors who are really looking for fairness and balance in your page and in other alternative health practitioners' pages, are primarily being silenced and overruled by this consensus that is held by these administrators who are part of the skeptics. Some of them, the ones that administer your page are actually close friends of Jimmy Wales. We've identified, we know who they are, and they're senior people. They spend their entire life on Wikipedia. I don't know if they have any other jobs whatsoever. That's all they do. So we are going to be just going after them, and there's some strategies we need to put in place, and Neil will speak about that. But we also need the help and assistance of listeners who have editorial skills or a good command of the English language, who are nuanced, have kind of a strategic thinking, to be able to go into some of these pages And in a way, to kind of politely egg them on. Because what's important for us in being able to proceed forward with any kind of a suit is that these people expose themselves and their viciousness and malice and their, holding their ideological positions. That's what any attorney is going to want to look at before we can really move forward with a suit against Wikipedia.
Okay. And Neil, would you share your thoughts, please?
Yes, Gary. I would like for all of your highly aware listeners to urge their congressional representatives and state's attorney generals to conduct a full investigation of Wikipedia, as well as to realize that Wikipedia is not a reliable source and should not be relied upon as an encyclopedia. Wikipedia has been given the veneer of legitimacy as an online encyclopedia by the press and by being prominently featured in the first page of Google search results. It is also primarily relied on by Facebook and other social media platforms as what they call a fact-check source. And here lies the danger. While Google and Facebook are facing increasing government and media scrutiny, Wikipedia's true nature has remained hidden, at least until recently. As Richard mentioned, on the PRN website, you'll find over 50 articles on Wikipedia's insidious and illegal activities. And I too want to focus on one of their worst abuses regarding the biographies of living persons, particularly those in the complementary and alternative health field. Not only Gary Null, but also such eminent and respected physicians as Deepak Chopra. In this area, as well as others, Wikipedia is anything but an open-source encyclopedia that encourages honest editors to contribute balanced and factual information. The biographies of anyone involved in this field are written by largely anonymous editors who do not have the credentials to write on the subject. The biographies are loaded with false statements, pretending to be facts, written with an intent to defame and ruin the reputations of their subjects. Any attempt by an honest editor to correct these false statements is immediately blocked by specially empowered administrators, assuring that the false and defamatory information will remain in perpetuity. These editors and administrators have their own, in their own written words, and we have them, have stated that it is their intention to accept no input into the biographies of Gary Null or other individuals in this field that is not negative and condemning. In their hate-filled view, since these targeted individuals are by definition, their definition, unworthy of respect and credibility, no amount of positive or even neutral material, even if derived from the most objective and reliable of sources, is allowed to be included. Negative and defamatory information, even if poorly sourced, is not only allowed, it's encouraged. Yet, Wikipedia and its supporters claim that because the defamation is collected and published online, there is no legal recourse. I'm here to tell you that this is wrong. Unless you're a member of Congress speaking during a congressional session, you are legally responsible for what you say and write. And even that exception is only because it's written into the U.S. Constitution. The purpose of defamation law is to protect people from having their lives and livelihoods ruined or significantly altered because of untrue statements made against them. While federal law gives immunity from defamation to websites that merely publish or edit the statements of third parties, it does not apply to websites that themselves engineer the creation, engineer the editing, and the posting of false and damaging statements. What makes this even more twisted is that Wikipedia pretends to adhere to a strict set of rules prohibiting the posting of personal biographies as hate pieces, and, in fact, mandating that all biographies be written with a neutral point of view, that all facts be verifiable, and that all research be derived from reliable sources, such as peer-reviewed journals, university-level publications and magazines, and journals published by respectable publishing houses. Specifically excluded from biographies are self-published sources such as personal websites or blogs. Yet in the case of biographies of those involved in complementary and alternative medicine, exactly the opposite is true. These biographies are hate pieces. The authorities used are self-published opinion blogs that the editors and administrators use to justify their animus. All Gary Noll, Deepak Chopra, and others have ever asked Wikipedia to do is to remove these so-called biographies. They never requested that their biographies be posted, and if Wikipedia cannot follow its own fairness and neutrality rules, then by another one of its unequivocal rules, these biographies must, and I'm quoting from their rules, must be removed immediately and without waiting for discussion. I hope that your listeners will take a fresh look at the articles, and I hope that they will take action to raise the awareness of what Wikipedia is doing and bring this to the attention of responsible government officials. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. We're going, before we go to Stephen Ledman, we're going to, in fact, what I want to do is I want to play you a little clip. Some of you might find the irony of this. And this is, why do stupid people think they're smart? It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. We'll play just a few minutes of it.
One day in 1995, a man robbed two Pittsburgh banks in broad daylight. He didn't wear a mask or any sort of disguise, and he smiled at surveillance cameras before walking out of each bank. Of course, the police found the robber and later that night arrested him. Interestingly enough, when the robber was handcuffed, he was puzzled and he mumbled, "But I wore the juice." Apparently, this robber thought that smearing lemon juice on his face would render him invisible to bank security cameras. And he didn't just think that. He was pretty confident about it. His rationale was that since the chemical properties of lemon juice are used in invisible ink, it should render him invisible to the bank security cameras. This is obviously a completely dumb way of thinking. But what's interesting is that even after the police showed him the footage of his robbery, he was genuinely surprised that it didn't work, and he thought the footage was fake. The police concluded that this man was not crazy or on drugs, just incredibly misinformed and mistaken. The funny robbery led to social psychologists Dunning and Kruger to study this phenomenon more deeply. Specifically, what interested them the most was the confidence exerted by this robber that made him believe he'd be able to obstruct the security cameras with just lemon juice. To investigate this in the lab, they examined a group of undergraduate students in several categories: their grammatical writing, logical reasoning, and a sense of humor. After knowing the test scores, they asked each student to estimate his or her overall score, as well as their relative rank compared to other students. This is when Dunning and Kruger found something fascinating. They found that the students who scored lowest in these cognitive tasks always overestimated how well they did. And not just by a little.
Okay, here's what that meant. You can see the whole thing, it's 8 minutes long. Everyone who did poorly overestimated how smart they were. No matter what it came to, they all thought they were brighter than what they were, more successful than what they were, better understood issues than they actually did. And that became known in the field as the Kruger effect. And today we have an entire country filled with people, including in our political system, who think they're smarter than what they actually are. When Nancy Pelosi says you got to read the law after we pass it for any of us to know what's in it, and I'm thinking, my God, is there any IQ left in that woman's brain? I mean, any capacity to think? And I suggest the same thing for those anonymous editors in Wikipedia. First, Why don't you have some courage? Why don't you let us know who you are and your background? List everything about yourself. I'm a public figure. Why don't you list everything about your schooling, your grades? Let's see your curricula vitae. Let's see where you've worked. Let us know everything about you. So then when you're writing one of your screeds and hate pieces, we'll know a little bit more about you than just being anonymous. Very easy to have a whole gang try to fight one person when you're all dressed in black and you think that you're going to be successful. You're not going to be successful. And in time, we will know who you are, as will the public. I believe that we have Roy, Dr. Roy Spicer on the line. Do we have Roy?
Hello, Gary.
Hi, Roy. We're just going to take a moment before we go to our guests, and I want to inform our stations we're going to run long today because of the. I didn't expect that to go so long with Wikipedia, but we will get all that is important from Dr. Ledman in. Roy, here's the deal. Every time I turn around, I'm seeing another article about how unhealthy the water is in coming out of our taps. That when we thought Flint, Michigan was bad because of the lead in there, and now they have a 36% increase in types of problems with children, learning problems. But then we found out that there are 4,000-plus cities in the United States and towns that have water equally or worse than Flint, and people don't see the microorganisms, they don't see the lead, they don't see the cadmium, they don't see the bacteria, they don't see the parasites coming out of their water. So they assume it's clean and healthy. And indeed, that is a dangerous assumption. Then on the other side of this issue, we see people who are completely unprepared for any emergency, zero preparation. So if something happens, they're going to be one of those people looking back the next day and saying, I didn't get anything out of the house. I didn't think it would happen. We weren't prepared. And so what I've done is I put together 3 hours of a set of what to do when disaster strikes. Whether it's a solar storm with a corona flare that wipes out all electricity on the earth or in a given area, and it could be out for a year. What happens if there's a tornado, a hurricane, fires? Anything and everything that could be a disaster, we show you how exactly to survive that. Very practical and good information. But then I added 2 things in, and one is brand new. I added in what you would need for at least a 1 month supply. If you want more, you can get a 2 month supply. But at least for 1 month, you'll have your protein and you'll have red stuff and green stuff. For example, you'll be having organic kale and organic barley grass and spinach and parsley and carrots and asparagus and spirulina and celery and onions and cauliflower and cabbage, broccoli, radishes, broccoli sprouts, collard greens, apples, strawberries, cherries, blueberries, raspberries, grapes, bananas, pomegranate, papaya, prunes, acerolas, goji, cranberry, acai, and bilberry, and grapeseed. So you'll have that. You'll have a wonderful quality, high-quality plant-based protein. So you'll have your protein, and you'll have your vegetables and fruits. So you're going to have what you need to survive if you have no other source. Because if you think it's easy to go get something after a flood and after a storm, when there's no food, there's no water, and that happened in Manhattan. That happened in Miami. That happened in North Carolina, all within the last years. That happened down in Southwest Florida, all of Florida, in fact. So we put together a kit. So we got the nutrients coming to you. We got the CDs coming to you, so you're going to understand what to do and prepare. The very things I've done to prepare are the very same things I'm going to tell you to do to prepare. But also, we've added something new. And this new thing is a portable, small, personal water filter. And it has got some of the stringent standards of any water filter. In fact, for its size, I would say that show me another filter in the world that's as equal. But to give you the background on this, I've invited Dr. Roy Spicer, PhD from Rutgers University, who spent his life studying and discussing water issues. Roy, just take a minute. We only have a minute to talk about why this personal small water filter, and it could be used for anything, why it's so important.
First, Gary, our regular water supplies are contaminated with a whole range of toxic substances, which you've mentioned, but it's become worse over the last several years with pharmaceuticals showing up in the water supplies, dioxin, and other harmful chemicals. You need filtration in the home and when you're out of your home. You need filtration when you're on the go in case of an emergency. So you have to fill in a gap between your home filtration and when you're out, let's say you're going to the office, you're going to the gym, you're traveling, you're going to restaurants. And in case of an emergency, you need a device that will take care of certain contaminants that may show up that are not normally there, like E. coli or parasites or other harmful bacteria. So the new personal water filter has advanced the filtration contaminant reduction by removing a wider range of contaminants. For example, this new portable filtration system can remove Cryptosporidium, Giardia, E. coli. These are all bacteria and parasites commonly found in water, and it removes a whole range of chemicals. There's a list of 99 VOC chemicals, industrial chemicals, that the filter can remove, along with lead, and lead is ubiquitous in all the water supplies, mercury, aluminum, cadmium, chromium, copper. There's a whole laundry list of contaminants that are removed by this portable water filter. This new technology not only eliminates a wider range of contaminants, but it can be used in multiple situations. So like I said, you can use it every day. Like, say, when you go to the office, you want to be drinking water out of the tap. You go to a restaurant, you don't want to be drinking water they put on your table. That comes from the tap. But more importantly, in emergencies, this is a convenient, very compact filtration bottle that holds 22 ounces of water. It has non-leachable plastic and can be reused 150 times. That gives you gallons of water when you need it on the go. So overall, this is the most advanced, most effective personal water filter on the market, and I highly recommend that everyone have one.
And also, you could take this when you're out biking, camping. I'm making sure that this is in my backpack when I go anywhere and in a suitcase when I travel to Europe. And by the way, this filters instantly. You don't have to wait an hour for it to filter and fill up. So for those who have the big 3-gallon size, that's great. But when the reality strikes and you have moments to get out of a situation, you want a filter that you can get and go. And also you can fill up water in your own house this way, for at least for drinking water, and it filters it. And then you can, when it's finished, you can get a replacement cartridge. Very simple. So this is the kit. It is How to Survive Any Disaster kit. We've given you in that kit the basics of what you need, so at least for 30 days or more, you're not going to be suffering like everyone else, waiting for someone to come and rescue you and waiting for some food somewhere to come. This makes you more self-sufficient. It's just common sense to do this. And it's not expensive. Here's the deal. It's normally $330. For you, it is $199. That's it. You're saving $120. Here's the number to call. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And get your water filter, GRED stuff, green stuff, muscle stuff, and 3 hours of, no matter what the disaster, how to survive it. You need this information. Let's hope you never have to use it. But if you do need to use it, at least you have put common sense and preparedness on your side. 877-627-5065. Everybody needs this. Thank you, Roy. Now, we're going to go over now and speak with Dr. Stephen Ledman. And as soon as he's up here, we're going to say hello to him. And let's see if Dr. Ledman's on. Hi.
Gary.
Nice to have you with us today.
Oh, it's Mr., not Doctor, but I'll take any colleague that you want to put on me.
All right. I gave your full bio earlier. And I want to have you talk about the double standard in the congressional Ukraine investigations to impeach Trump, and also what was going on in Ukraine with Hillary Clinton and the top person on the Russian-Ukrainian desk, Victoria Nuland, whose husband is the leading neocon in Washington, D.C., and the fact that no one is looking at the fact that when regardless of whether you like the President of the United States or not, and I don't happen to like him, the fact is that the President of the United States is the sole arbiter or of U.S. foreign policy. If you don't like that, then get another president. And also, why is this in the Schiff Intelligence Committee when this should be the Judicial Committee? And why is it they won't allow any witnesses or people who have experienced the collusion firsthand with knowledge of it, like the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons and Joe Biden's son, when he's receiving $86,000 a month for doing nothing on the board of Burisma and the corruption behind that? So give us your overview of what's actually happening, what we're not being told by the press, and how this is purely a political move by the deep state.
Gary, the root cause of what's going on, I am also a very sharp Trump critic. There is nothing redeeming about Trump, and there certainly is plenty to hold him accountable for and impeach him for. But what the Dems, I don't call them Democrats because they're certainly not Democratic. I call them undemocratic Dems, which is exactly what they are. They're going after Trump because he won an election he was supposed to lose. They're not mentioning any of the legitimate things that they could impeach him for. And there's a good wars of aggression, betraying the public trust, things like that. And the reason they're not going after him on these issues is they share blame. Most members of Congress, I would say the vast majority of people in Congress, both Dems and Republicans, share blame on these crimes. So they're going after him concocting a scam, again, because he won an election he was supposed to lose. Hillary was supposed to win the election. The New York Times, just days before the election in November 2016, said she was something like 90 or 96% guaranteed to win. Well, she lost, and he won, and there's been a vendetta out for him ever since. My God, he's done everything for corporate America, for the military-industrial security complex. He's for the nation's rich, the privileged class, and so on, and they want to impeach this guy? Well, it's a scam. They pulled a Russiagate, the Russiagate witch hunt. That fell flat. It failed. The Ukrainegate, I use that term. Other people have used it as well. That's the spinoff from Russiagate. The idea, he'll be impeached. He'll be impeached before the end of the year, probably. If not then in January or whenever. The Dems control the House, so they can easily impeach him. They don't necessarily want him removed from office, Gary. They want him weakened and more delegitimized to make him and Republicans vulnerable when November 2020 comes around. They want to regain the White House. They want to regain control of both houses. They have the House, but Republicans control the Senate. And that's what this scam is all about. And as much as I despise Trump, what they're going after him for is an utter scam and has no legitimacy at all.
Tell us about the truth behind Hillary Clinton and the people around Clinton's working with the corrupt people within Ukraine to overthrow the democratically elected president of Ukraine and install their own puppets and sponsor what amounts to a whole new Ukrainian state of fascism, and how Biden's son played into that.
Well, Biden's son is profiting from being the son of the former vice president. But the situation in Ukraine was there were two U.S. color revolutions in Ukraine. I'm sure, Gary, your listeners know what happened in 2014. I'll go over that again. But there was another color revolution in 2004, an orange revolution that overthrew the legitimate government, installed a fascist dictatorship under a guy named Yushchenko. Forget his first name. You get Yushchenko and Yanukovych. Yanukovych defeated him when another election came along, and he was Ukraine's president, overthrown by Hillary Clinton and Victoria Nuland, installing a fascist dictatorship in Ukraine. That was in February 2014. It began late in 2013, November, December 2013, continued in January, and around the middle of the month, Yanukovych was overthrown and a fascist dictatorship was installed under the appointed president, Petro Poroshenko. Well, they had what they called an election, but it was no election. He was anointed by the U.S. to be the president. He's been defeated by Vladimir Zelensky, who is probably a much different kind of guy than he is. But unfortunately, the U.S. controls what's going on in Ukraine. It has most of the time in the post-Soviet Russia disillusion era from December 1991, most of the years since that time. And it certainly controls Ukraine now, whether Republicans or Dems are in control. So you've got a government in Ukraine that's a puppet U.S. state. It's used as a dagger pointing at Russia's heartland. The U.S. wants to get Ukraine into NATO. This is absolutely unacceptable to Russia, and it could be a justification for I don't know what if this happens. I mean, even the hardliners in Washington are tiptoeing very, very carefully around this issue, because Russia, Ukraine shares about a 1,500. I forget, it's either a 1,500 kilometer or 1,500 mile common border with Russia, land and sea. The idea of Ukraine being a part of NATO, the same thing goes for Georgia. Russia does not want NATO countries bordering its territory. And this is what the U.S. is pushing for, but very gingerly, very slowly. But again, the situation in Ukraine, you've got a U.S. puppet state. The U.S. is arming Ukraine. The idea that Trump withheld military aid to Ukraine to get the President Zelensky to investigate Biden. Well, number one, this kind of stuff goes on all the time. This is part of U.S. foreign policy. You can criticize it. You can do what you like. But it goes on no matter who's in the White House. The U.S. pressures probably every other government to go along with what it wants. Gary, let me you jump in and I'll come back.
Okay, well, take us down that road to let us know. Wasn't it George Bush Sr. and then following that Bill Clinton who agreed with Gorbachev that if Russia back in 1992 went to peaceful means and dissolved the Soviet Union, that they would not allow NATO to encroach any further eastward? And then after Gorbachev agreed, wanting peace to end the Cold War, right then and there, Clinton and his allies began the process of pushing NATO eastward towards Russia. And right now, this is just the latest where the Ukraine would have then the capacity to have missiles right up on Russia's border, over a long border, that would allow it then to have easy targeting of Russia.
Well, indeed, Jim Baker was the Secretary of State at the time, and I think he used the expression in dealing with Russia that NATO would not move one inch east if Gorbachev and Bush Sr. agreed on what they did agree on. And, of course, the exact opposite happened. One country after another began to be incorporated into NATO, beginning in the 1990s during the Clinton co-presidency. As far as arms to Ukraine, Gary, Ukraine is threatened by nobody. There was no quote-unquote Russian aggression, not in 2014, not before that, Russian Federation aggression, not before that, certainly not now. This stuff is all made up. There was no Russian annexation of Crimea. Crimeans voted overwhelmingly to correct a historic mistake and rejoin Russia, and Putin simply went along with their wishes, but there was no annexation the way it's portrayed. And the weapons that are going to Ukraine, again, a country with no other nation threatening them, the weapons are going to wage war on its own people in Donbass, the Luhansk People's Republic, and the Donetsk People's Republic. This has been going on since spring 2014, so it's been about five and a half years. And also for oppressing the people of Ukraine. Again, we're talking about a fascist dictatorship. These are what the weapons are going for. Why is the U.S. sending any weapons to Ukraine? I wrote an article about this. Of course, this is never mentioned in the mainstream media, but this is the key thing. There should be no U.S. weapons going to Ukraine. There should be democratic elections, legitimate democratic elections, with the U.S. not involved in them, and let the Ukrainians decide who they want to lead them. But the people are impoverished. Well, you've got a war going on in the Southwest. You've got ordinary Ukrainians suffering through neoliberal harshness, much worse than Americans are going through. This is the situation in Ukraine. It happened before, after the 2004 Orange Revolution, and that's why the sitting president, Yushchenko, was voted out of power. Yanukovych voted in, and now we've got the same thing repeating. If there's Ukrainians voted for Vladimir Zelensky, hoping there would be a change, but the U.S. literally has Ukraine by the throat, controlling the policies, probably threatening Zelensky behind the scenes. This is the way your predecessor did it. This is the way we want you to do it. And if you don't do it, well, you can imagine what the implications were. So Zelensky was a television comedian who played the role of a president. Now he's the real thing. He's not a real politician. Well, he's learning to be a politician. He's learning the hard way that when you deal with the U.S., you either go the U.S. way, or they'll come after you one way or the other. Well, that's the situation in Ukraine.
By the way, one little irony, that the woman who was hailed as the new Joan of Arc, who was over there, the civil servant for 30 years, it turns out that she delivered a message directly to the top officials in Ukraine. This is a list of people you do not investigate. And yet that never made the media. So who was on that list? Who were the people that she was told through the Barack Obama administration, you don't investigate these people? And was that prosecutor who was removed because of Joe Biden, now they're trying to tar and feather him, saying he was corrupt. We can find no evidence that he was corrupt. We can find evidence that he was investigating the corruption of the group that that Biden's son worked for. And unfortunately, there's no honest and objective data in the mainstream media. Thank you very much, Steve Ledman. We appreciate you being on. Steve Ledman and his latest work that you can read is Flashpoint in Ukraine. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.